Ever wonder how some businesses turn into cultural icons while so many don't? My next guest has spent much of his adult life answering this question. He is known for being one of the original sharks on Shark Tank, and some see him as one of the most successful entrepreneurs of our time, a person who saw an opportunity and succeeded at becoming a TV commercial pioneer because this man that we're going to meet momentarily invented the infomercial. My guest is Kevin Harrington. Hey, Kevin, I'm so glad you're here.
It's fantastic to be here. It's a great day. Sunny Florida I live in, and thanks for having me.
My pleasure. So I understand that you were watching TV one night way back in 1984, and back then, you know, when it wasn't the 24/7 type TV we get today, when the programs went off, you got some color bars and nothing happened, but you had an idea. Take us through that.
So today you've got hundreds of channels, all kinds of programming. There's way more programming than anybody's going to be able to see in a daytime. But back in the early days, in the early 80s, when I was sitting there as a young entrepreneur, turned my TV set on at midnight and there was bars on the screen. I'm like, what's going on? I'm paying to get this cable that just launched. They didn't have enough programming. So I said to myself, the light bulb went off. It was my eureka moment. What if I gave them products after midnight that they could just put on these channels where they've got bars on the screen, and I'll give them a percentage of sales.
Uh-huh.
So when I went to the cable operator, they said, you give us the programs, we'll run them.
Okay.
So I started producing what I call these low-budget infomercials. This was back in the early 80s, and you know, we started with Ginsu knives and different things like that, and then we got into fitness with guys like Tony Little and the Jack LaLanne juicers.
Sure.
All
yeah.
of a sudden, I'm running around with some pretty powerful guys like George Foreman even. So It was a lot of fun, and they've credited me as being the inventor of that term, the infomercial, in those early days. But it's been hundreds and hundreds of these kinds of products that's given me the ability to create some of these great brands across all these different platforms.
Yeah, you know, many years ago, I interviewed Ron Popeil. And then this successor to his organization,
sure.
And we had a lot of fun, you know, talking about, and that's not all, you know, that,
yeah.
that was a lot
set
of fun.
Set it and forget it. Was
set it and forget it.
Ron is a true pioneer himself.
Yeah, I know.
Amazing guy.
I know. Now, Kevin is on a cell phone, so folks, bear with us. He's trying his best to speak clearly and so on. So let's move on. And then you formed a relationship with Home Shopping Network, which was really in its infancy. Not, I think it was in its 80s, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah. Well, my original business, Quantum International, became a public company. We grew to $500 million in sales annually. Stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange Company, 500 employees. Then as things happen, entrepreneurs, they buy, they sell. I've sold, I moved on. And who was standing there waiting for a deal? Home Shopping Network, which that's what brought me to sunny Florida.
Uh-huh,
1994,
right.
I moved here to form a venture with Home Shopping Network, and that was called Home Shopping Network Direct. And we took the most successful products from home shopping and put them into infomercials and took them around the world. And that was another business that went from zero to hundreds of millions of dollars pretty rapidly.
Wow.
Very successful, fun time with HSN. And that was, you know, the mid-90s.
I remember when HSN went public and we bought some shares and we did pretty well with that too. That was a great idea that I don't think the public really kind of caught on to until, you know, much later. And then you got involved with Shark Tank. Tell us about that.
So here I was, an entrepreneur. People were coming to me with their ideas and, you know, inventors and just anybody across the board, folks like Tony Little. Hey, I've got this fitness thing. Would you
yeah.
take a look at?
Mm-hmm.
So I was the guy that was investing in their projects. And so Mark Burnett, little did I know, he was doing a show called Shark Tank. He's like, Kevin, I've got a real estate lady named Barbara Corcoran and the FUBU guy, Damon John, but I need a shark that deals with inventors.
Yeah.
And so I was that shark, and I did the original pilot in 2009. And 175 segments over the first number of years. And wow, what a brand it created. It's a show that's inspired millions of people. And, you know, it's been one of the hit shows on ABC Network and now runs and reruns. All my segments, the original, are now running on CNBC and actually around the world. We're in, you know, more than a dozen countries. around the world in various languages. So Mark Burnett is one of the finest at producing television. Shark Tank has been a big success. In fact, won an Emmy Award, and I've loved all the years that I've been involved with the brand. So Shark Tank has instilled an amazing success into not only entrepreneurs that have been on the show, but many folks that have watched the show. It's now being taught in colleges and universities and even grade schools around the country. So it's an amazing brand that's been built. So thanks for talking about it.
My pleasure. But Shark Tank, you know, fills a need, and that's this connect between the people who we're always thinking about things that can improve our lives. You know, the old saying, find the need and fill it. But there's this disconnect between actually creating the product and actually getting it out there and making it a success. And I think Shark Tank, you know, works to help people understand that. And you're a very good example of someone who's done that really your whole life. My guest is Kevin Harrington. He's the inventor of the infomercial. As you just heard, he was involved with Shark Tank and home shopping in the early days. So you're writing a column on Forbes, and that's how I found you, Kevin. And one of the columns caught my eye because I'm a musician, and it was Vital HR Lessons from a 1980s rock band. And it was actually a little more interesting to me as well because the rock band is Little River Band, and the person mentioned in the article lives in my neighborhood, and we've had some contact together as I've tried to get the Symphonia, which I'm president of, and that rock band together to do kind of like a big concert. But why pick that particular situation to describe how to continue to make a brand successful and last many, many years?
Well, you know, Wayne Nelson, the Little River Band, unbelievable story because, you know, today you see these hit sensations. They're just that, sensations. They come and they go. But Little River Band, north of 40 years now, out in the marketplace, you know, as you well know, Wayne's one of the hardest working guys out there.
Yeah.
Built that brand. And that's a true testament to building a legacy. And in my world, it's a guy like Tony Little. Tony Little, we did his first commercial back in 1990, 25 years ago, but he still continues to keep building product after product. And, you know, from fitness products to massage products to bison burgers. And just like the Little River Band, they are still at a very high level of fill factor out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
Of people knowing who they are, and this is because of the brand-building experiences that they've been through, never giving up and letting people know about who they are. So
well,
it's an amazing success story.
You got you know, he's been around for 40 years or so. There was an Australian rock band way back when, and now he's appealing to those who remember him, who've grown older, and now he's developing new audiences. What is the analogy here for someone, anybody who's started a business? Maybe they've got the new hot thing. You know, what kind of companies are really out there besides these new hot companies? How would you define some of the ways that companies develop and mature?
So, you know, a lot of companies, it's kind of a three-step process. They start out as the newbies, and that's, there's, you know, as an entrepreneur that is constantly launching new products, I'm very familiar with that phase. And then, you know, they've got to get to the second phase, which is, you know, a fully developed phase now of, you know, exposing their talents, the product and the distribution. And, you know, in today's world, you've got new media and old media. Old media is the old way, you know, where you had ABC, CBS, NBC. Nowadays, you're using new media and all the Pinterest and the Instagrams and the Facebooks and all the new ways of making yourself relevant and taking yourself to the next step. And that leads you then to the third phase, that where you've built that brand and you've managed to leverage yourself like a Tony Little, like a Little River Band, and you've survived the hit-driven sensation, and now, you know, you've built that brand. So, you know, I've been involved in, you know, more than 20 projects that have done in excess of $100 million, and, you know, in the process that, you know, they become branded. You know, Billy Mays did it with a product called Oxy.
Oh, and, sure, remember that.
You know, yeah. You know, Church & Dwight, the Arm & Hammer company, has now taken OxiClean to that last level of branded, and now they're using OxiClean ingredients in many other products just besides the cleaning side.
One of the aspects of this Little River Band explanation in your article was this idea of auditioning your employees. I mean, this Little River Band is not the same band it was 40 years ago. They have to continually replace people, and they have to get the right people. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So, yes, as you mentioned, Little River Band, it's not the original members have moved on. So this is what it takes to survive in the hit-driven world. You know, we talked about OxyClean and Billy Mays. And, you know, Billy has passed on himself and passed away a number of years ago, but OxyClean has survived and is this huge branded product now for the Arm & Hammer company. So, you know, this is auditioning your employees is something, it's reinventing yourself. You know, in my world, you talked about the early days of home shopping, and we've talked about the infomercial. Well, guess what? The infomercial industry's had to reinvent itself and audition for new platforms on a regular basis. We had to go through the internet phase, which was huge. Now it's moving towards mobile. And a lot of people don't realize that in some cases, 90% of the sales of a product aren't even on TV anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. I'm in the ad scene on TV industry. 90% of some campaigns are internet, and then 50% of those sales are mobile.
Yeah.
So that's what I call auditioning, you know, for the next level of whether it's auditioning employees, auditioning a new distribution platform. You have to stay relevant. You have to stay in touch with the times on what are the new distribution outlets. And in the case of Little River Band, you know, let's get some new members here as the original ones have moved on also.
So it's really as seen on Twitter, as seen on Facebook, as seen on Google, and on and on and on. It's this endless, infinite, feels like, stream of...
To give you an example, I owned as seen on TV.com for many years, which was the platform of everything as seen on TV.
Right, right.
Now I own as seen on cell.com.
Yeah.
Because it's now going to be mobile. The younger generation, you know, I have a 17-year-old that doesn't watch television anymore.
Right.
He's on his mobile phone and his iPad.
Right,
so,
right.
Got to stay relevant.
Yeah, so there are still people out there, whether it be Richard Branson or Steve Jobs or even way back when Henry Ford, who had learned how to become centers of influence and build these brands. They didn't necessarily have the original ideas, but they learned how to build the brand and learn how to build the products and create the systems. Where is the common thread here for the small business person?
Well, I think the common thread, you mentioned kind of influencers, and I always have loved that term, you know, becoming a key person of influence is a term that I use. That's taking your idea and getting it out there through various techniques and becoming a brand of influence, or in the case of an individual, the key person of influence. How did all the sharks become sharks?
Yeah.
When I got the phone call from Mark Burnett, it was because I had become a key person of influence in the infomercial space, and Barbara Corcoran had in the real estate space.
Sure.
And on and on and on.
Yeah.
So entrepreneurs need to make themselves known and build their own brand, build the brand of the product. And we've talked about it. Today's world, it isn't just TV, it's Twitter and it's Instagram and it's Pinterest and Facebook and all of the new media outlets. So becoming branded like that, staying in touch with the times and keeping on top of the newest ways to market and make your brand relevant is critical and important.
Well, it's that individual, not that the company necessarily is unique. Of course, all great companies have differentiation, but when you're creating your personal brand, there is nobody like you. So it's really the perfect avenue, in my view anyway, to say, you know, I can change things and I can let the world know who I am, because it's the ultimate differentiation. Nobody is going to be like me. You know,
exactly.
Love them or hate them.
Yeah.
Love them or hate them, they're there and they are what they are. So give me a little bit of advice for a person really just got a product, building a company, needs to go out and start to be, you know, an influencer. We understand the social media part. Is there something else that they can do?
Yes. You know, a good example, I know we're going to talk about Dawn Dixon from the Flat Out Heel. She is a young entrepreneur, came out and said, Kevin, I want somebody to be on my team. And I always recommend building the board of advisors, board of directors around you. Support yourself with a team of people that have the skills And so she got me the shark to jump on her team.
I see.
And now she has a certain skill. She's an inventor. She brought a shark in. I've got certain aspects that I bring to the table, but I also now have a sphere of influence and a Rolodex that I'm bringing to the table.
Gotcha.
From manufacturing to marketing to finance to publicity and public relations. So any business that I start, I have a new business I'm starting. I found the former president of L'Oreal. His name happened to be the funny name, Jim Morrison, not the famous musician Jim Morrison, who's no longer with us, but was president of L'Oreal for 9.5 years. He's part of my team in a new company that I'm launching that involves a lot of beauty products. And why did I want Jim there? Because he spent 9.5 years president of L'Oreal.
Yeah.
So build a team of people that can help you raise capital, help you bring publicity to the table, help you in an operational mode, and all the things across the board that can bring credibility to the young entrepreneur.
Very good. My guest, Kevin Harrington, I think we got a good idea of all the things that you do, Kevin, and thank you for taking your time to share with us and this show. Thank you so much.
It's a real pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Take care.